You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Romans 15. Got several scriptures we'll get to. I don't know how many we will get to, because I know how this operates, how this goes. Not my first rodeo. Amen. Praise God. I want to minister today on hope. You know, we talk about faith and hope. They're not opposed to each other. You know, I actually heard sermons where they almost put them on opposite poles, faith versus hope, you know. Now, I do believe that for the most part that hope is entry level. It's a start. And you got to do more than just hope. I think you got to get in there in the Bible plan. You got to believe. You got to stand in faith. Because actually, you know, hope's the start. Most people don't have any hope, so they're not going to believe for anything anyway. But if you have a hope, if you have an expectancy, then you have something for faith to work with. Yeah. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what in the world would I put substance to? If I had no hope to start with, faith won't help. Because if you don't have any expectancy, any desire, any hope at all, then faith can't put substance to anything. Faith based on the Word, we have a promise that we stand on. That's what faith simply put is. I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, we all have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, Paul said. And so that kind of gives us a 1-2-3 on biblical Bible faith. Bible faith is real simple. It's written, it's believed, it's spoken. Amen? And you can carry it a step further. It's acted on. We've been teaching on the book of James and the adult class on Sunday mornings. We're talking about faith has action, you know. But it starts first with what God says. Then it's believed. Then it's spoken. Amen? So that's faith. But see, if you have no hope at all, and a lot of people are hopeless. And I don't mean they're no good, useless. I know you're thinking of some people, they are hopeless. No, I mean a lot of people don't have hope.
Sure.
Say it another way so we don't misinterpret that. And sometimes we lose hope. We live in an age, I'll tell you right now, there's so much going on in our country and the world as a whole. And we are hammered at with the news and hammered at with the television, radio, newspapers. And everybody's talking about how bad it is. They even call it a depression, you know, recession, depression. They'll say, you know, the days of the depression and so on. Because it's depressing and so on. And people just lose hope. This is not a campaign slogan. I'm not playing off anybody's campaign slogan here. But we do need to keep hope alive.
Amen.
We need to keep hope alive. We need to keep that expectancy up. Now, to do that, you've got to have something to base it on, obviously. If you don't believe in God, you don't have a lot of hope. But we do believe in God. We are Christians. Don't forget who you are.
Amen.
I think every once in a while you need to slap yourself when you get down and say, wait a minute, whoa, slow down here. I'm a Christian. I have God and I have hope. And then we get in the Word and we find out what His promises say. And then we start building our faith. And then we put faith behind our hope. And faith works with hope. And it puts substance to things I hope for. You know, people have a hope of a good marriage or hope of a good financial status or hope of a good life. And that's a start. That's good. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen. People hope for things and don't necessarily get it. But that's a good start. You need an expectancy. Don't give up hope. Don't stop hoping. Faith comes in there and gives us some substance to that thing. Faith comes and gives us some grounds for the hope. Faith comes and tells us how to make it happen. Hallelujah. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So if we just have the hope, we just have an outline, as it were, something we'd like, but there's no way to get there. There's no substance to it. See, it's a start, but without believing now, we're not going to be able to put substance to that thing. Faith puts substance to your dreams. It makes your dreams come true. You want to dream. Don't stop dreaming. I want to encourage you to dream, dream big. I want to encourage you to have hope and have big hope. Why? Because we're Christians.
Right.
And God hasn't died. And He hadn't lost any power. And He hasn't fallen asleep.
Yeah.
The Bible says He neither sleeps nor slumbers. I love that. And that way, you know, a lot of times I lean on that when I'm going through a lot in life, you know, and get time to go to bed and you can make a choice. You can just let that thing roll around in your head, stay awake all night, stare at the ceiling, try to solve that thing. Or you can give it over to the Lord and let Him solve it, let Him handle it, He's going to be up all night anyway. Why don't you go ahead and go to sleep?
Yeah.
Amen. So no sense in both you staying awake over this thing. Just give it over to the Lord and let him handle it. And really, that's what he wants us to do. Romans 15 tells us very plainly concerning hope, the 13th verse. Now may the God of hope. Wow. Wait a minute. Now we're not just talking about something God can do or has a little bit of, but we're even calling him the God of hope. You know, when you say the God of hope, you're saying that's what he's about. Like the God of love, you know, and he's the God of love. Yes, he is love. And he's hope, too. He brings hope into our lives. I remember before I got saved, I remember how hopeless I felt. I don't know if some of you may remember that experience in your life. Some of you may have been raised in Christianity, I don't know, or don't remember the exact day when you really got saved. My children don't know because they were raised in it, see. And so they were raised to know Jesus. And at some point it became a reality to them, but they didn't have a recognition per se of being lost one day and saved the next day. They just been it all their life. They know Jesus. They believe on Jesus. They're raised in this thing. And that's wonderful. I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on that. In a saved family, it's not always easy for a child to know the day because they've heard it all their life. They grow up with it. When they start talking, they start saying Jesus and praise the Lord and been in church all their life. But in my case, you know, I got saved when I was 19. And so I remember very distinctly what it was like. You know, everybody's wired different. I don't know what the deal is. Women cry at different things. I just cry when I talk about the Lord. I don't know what it is. When I talk about what he's done for me, it's like yesterday, and it was over 30 years ago. I remember the hopelessness. I remember the emptiness. I remember just the absolute futility of everything. I didn't believe in God. I reached a point where I just didn't believe in God at all in my teenage years. And went through a lot of drugs and jails and wild lifestyle. And I can remember distinctly thinking about eternity, talking about it with my buddies, you know, talking about how I didn't believe there was anything. When you're dead, you're dead. And I lay awake at night thinking about it. I remember strung out on drugs lots of times thinking about I'm going to die and there's nothing. There's just nothing out there. And it was a bad feeling, a terrible feeling, a hopeless feeling. I had no hope. No hope. Are you with me? Didn't matter what I did and how long I lived, I was going to die one day. And it was over. And that's it. And that's life. Thank God. I have hope now. Thank God that I look at life different now. I mean, when I accepted Jesus at 19 years of age, my whole outlook changed. My whole future changed. All of a sudden, I had hope. And I still have that hope. I still have it. I know there's something over there on the other side. I know there's another life. I know there's something better coming. I know that. I got that hope. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessed hope. And then little by little, you know, I put the word with that hope and the promises with that hope, and I've gotten more confident in that thing, and I put substance to those things hope for. Amen? Amen. So if anything God is, he is the God of hope. He puts meaning in life. He puts, you know, I often refer to John 1:1 where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with him. Without him, the Word was not anything made that was made, and all things are made by him. And without him was nothing made that was made. And we know that's talking about Jesus, the 14th verse, that first chapter says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Wonderful passage of Scripture. But if you look at that word, the word, Word, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, that Greek word is logos. We get the word logic from that. Or logo sometimes. A logo on a company is like a picture that just personifies the whole company. You see that picture, you know that's the Chevrolet symbol. You see that symbol, that's the logo. And you know it's a Chevrolet. You know? And so you have these logos that represent companies or organizations or whatever. Well, Jesus is the representation of God. He's the logo of God. He's all that God is. But then you take it word further, and it's the complete thought of something. That's what the Greek really meant, the Greek word. In other words, he's the full thought of God. He's the complete reasoning of God. I'm going somewhere, stay with me. He is the logic of God. Logos, logic. That's what that means. And so everybody's looking for the meaning of life and the logic of life and the reason for life. And Jesus is the logic of life. So until you receive Him, your life has no meaning. It has no logic. It has no reason. I know this from experience, not just the Greek, not just from reading it, and you can testify yourself. When I accepted Jesus, my life took on logic. My life had a purpose. My life had meaning. I had hope again. You know why? Because I received the meaning of life. I received the logic of the heavens, of the universe, of God. I received the complete thought of God. Jesus is the complete thought of God. He's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! And with Him, I don't have to be discouraged anymore. I don't have to be downtrodden. I don't have to be beat up and run over, spiritually speaking. I can rise up. I can have hope. Because He's the God of all hope. And if anything God has given me is given me hope. Hope for my future. Hope for a marriage. Hope for my children. I don't have to look to the world for that because the world can't offer that. It never did before. I never had it before I accepted Jesus. I don't know how I'm going to get it from the world after I accept Jesus. I'm going to have to get it from Jesus. Amen? Amen? So don't lose hope. You say, where did I get it? In God. I'm not going to get it from the television. I'm not going to get it from the economic forecasters. I don't know, you know, I'm making up words now, prognosticators. I don't know what. Forecasters. We're not going to get it from... We're not going to get it from politics, although we believe in politicians and we believe in the process and the governments and we vote and we pray and we do all those things. But still our hope's in God. Are you with me? And we pray that people that we elect have their hope in God. Amen? God is the God of hope. There is no man of hope. There is no event of hope. There is no circumstance of hope. There is no happening of hope. Hope comes from God. So quit trying to get it out there. Are you with me? This is where we mess up. We try to get it from what's going on. You're not going to get it from what's going on. Hope doesn't come that way. It doesn't come from that. It comes from God. Woo! Amen. All right. So now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I love that. We've ministered on that when I talked about joy. I've taught series on joy and how that joy comes from believing. You know, we're not rejoicing because we're not believing. We don't have peace because we're not believing. Peace and joy come from believing. Am I all by myself up here today?
No.
Okay. So the potential's there. He's got a hope, and He fills us with joy and peace in believing. So as we believe, praise God, the joy comes and the peace comes. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whom having not seen yet, believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory.
Amen.
Yet believing you rejoice. You don't see Him. You don't even see the evidence or the outcome or the fruit yet of what we're believing. But believing, we rejoice.
Amen.
I can see a light that's coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles. But until that day comes, Lord, I will praise You.
Amen.
See, hope comes from Him.
Hallelujah.
Comes from believing in Him. Got to have hope. Got to have first the desire, the expectancy. And hope in a broad sense is often, you know, used concerning our faith. The hope of heaven, the hope of the resurrection. You know, so, you know, hope can mean detail sometimes a little different than broadly what it's talking about. But we're not just a hoping. Just a hoping and a praying. And we're not just like some people say, well, I sure hope so. You ever heard that one? You know, that's not Bible hope. That's not biblical hope. That's wrong hope. This hope is there is an expectancy that comes with it. And we need to keep it high. Keep it alive. Amen? Don't you give up. Don't you throw the towel in. Don't you let depression take you over. Don't you let circumstances determine your attitude. No, you look to God for your hope. That's the only place you're going to get it anyway. And that's what He is. He is the God of hope. Amen? Amen. In fact, turn over to Ephesians 2.
Yeah.
This helping you this morning.
Yes,
you know, I'm just preaching to myself. I've used that example many times. I read it in a C.S. Lewis book years ago where he talked about, you know, envelopes, and I think he calls them envelopes. I don't know what they call them in Great Britain. They talk funny up out in Great Britain. They even talk funny up north in the United States. But anyway, that's okay. Everybody can't talk right like we do down here in Texas. But he was talking about, you know, knowing what's in people's hearts. He's just real simple. He's just not complicated. We're not all that different. You know, I see postmen coming by and putting envelopes in mailboxes all around my neighborhood, you know, and he says, I don't go look in their mailboxes and I don't open up their letters, but I open up my mailbox and open up my letters, and inside there are bills and sometimes notes from people. He says, it's safe to assume they're getting the same thing in their mailboxes and their envelopes if they open them up. So maybe I don't know what's going on in your head, but I know what's going on in my head, and I know what I'm going through, and it's probably not a lot different from what you're going through. Yeah. Often people come up to me after a sermon and say, Pastor, that's just what I need. You just read my mail. No, actually, I just read my mail. And we both got the same letter. It's God's telemarketing program or whatever they call it, mass mail program. We all need this, amen? You're not a lot different than me. We're not a lot different than each other. We all have the same needs. I'll tell you what we need. We need God. Amen. We need to put our hope in God. Praise God, this wonderful Father who sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins. We just had communion and celebrated that fact. And remembered and honored Him for that and thanked Him for that. My goodness, we of all people ought to be joyful and excited and full of peace and face the future with courage and with faith. Hallelujah. Not with doubt and despair. We have nothing to be doubtful and despairing about. Hallelujah. We have God. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. 1,000 a fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it not come nigh me.
Amen.
Amen. Hello? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Ephesians 2, talking about the Gentiles, us, incidentally. In fact, he's writing to Ephesus, a Gentile city. Paul's writing to a Gentile church, writing to people who were not Jews. Incidentally, who Jesus died for too. Thank God. Amen. Died for us all. And so he's talking to them and he tells them, 11th verse, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. In other words, you're not Jews and you're called this uncircumcised by the Jews who are circumcised, made in the flesh by hands. That at that time, you were without Christ. Everybody say without Christ. Everybody say at that time. It's important to get the time periods down. I think most Christians don't understand tenses. You'll have to think about that one. We've forgotten some things. Are you with me? And we're still living in the wrong time period. Okay. We're in the past. We need to be in the present. But anyway, at that time, you were without Christ. Well, that obviously is not this time, not now, right? Because we have Christ. Wouldn't that be correct? Were you ever without Christ? I was. How about now?
No.
Not now. Okay. So at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, now, at that time, I did have no hope. But see, at that time, I did not have God. Because I had no hope without God in the world. But now that I have God, I have hope. So I'm not hopeless, and I'm not helpless. You know, Third Day, it's a contemporary Christian group, sings a song, Hope for the Help for the Helpless and Hope for the Hopeless. And they do a much better job than I do. But anyway, there's hope for the hopeless and help for the helpless and la da 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 da, and you'll have to go find that song. But anyway, I think Chris and them sang that. Isn't that the song they sang here with the violin? Wendy Blaine? Huh? Cry out to Jesus. Yeah, hope for the hopeless. And okay, Chris, you'll have to edit all that out because that was a real stutter there in that message. But anyway, He has given us hope. And why do we have hope? Because of what's going on in the world? No, because of God. Because we have Christ. Now, there used to be a time I didn't have any, but now I got some. Well, I'm really going through it. Well, that's your problem. You need to get over that. Or just get saved. Maybe you're not saved. No, I believe you are. Stay with me. But you need to take advantage of it. There are perks. There are privileges. There are advantages to being saved. We have someone to call on. Hallelujah. We got someone to hope in. You say, well, everything's just falling apart and coming all to pieces here. Oh, hey, put your hope in God. The God of all hope and all comfort. will fill you with joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost. But the rest of that verse, Romans 15:13 says, I love that. The power of the Holy Ghost, not the power of the world, not the power of circumstance, not the power of events happening in your life. I believe those things can change. I think we can stand in faith and make a difference and change circumstances and change events and bring healing where there is nothing but sickness and bring prosperity where there's nothing but poverty. But my hope is in God.
Amen.
My expectancy. Hallelujah. And I don't want to lose that hope. I need to keep hope alive. Because if I lose that, I got nothing to believe for. But all the promises in the Word, it won't help me if I have no hope. You know, people in hospitals give up hope. Doctor can't even work with them. All the medicine in the world, all the surgery in the world. You'll hear doctors say things like, you know, they just gave up hope, they just quit. And they'll tell you, you know, I've seen this happen over and over. People come in here and they just give up the will to live and they just die. Even doctors will say that. You know, they gave up hope. You don't want to give up hope. You got no reason to. Hallelujah. We have every reason to have hope and to believe in God. We were without hope one time because we were without God. But since we are with God now, we have hope because He is the God of hope. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Psalms 41. Maybe. 42. Psalms 42. Oh, this is a good one. You're going to love this. Yeah, you're going to love this. At least I hope you do. You understand when I say hope, when I'm saying the way a lot of people say it. Most people, when they say in a worldly sense hope, they mean we don't believe it's going to happen. Isn't that right? You tell them about something you're believing for, and they'll go, well, I sure hope so. In essence, they're saying, I don't believe it. It'd be nice, but I don't believe that. So we got to sometimes redefine terms. You know, words sometimes lose their meaning. They change their meaning depending on societies and cultures and so on. Now, if you talk to someone about something that's real nice, like a nice car, you know what they say? Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, sick? What's wrong with it? You know,
yeah.
Is it sick? Does it need a hospital? No, it means, I mean, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You just said sick. Yeah, sick, man. Sick. Oh man, that is a bad car. That's bad. It's so bad. And you're thinking, bad? I don't want to get that car. Man, no way. Is it that bad? Oh, it's real bad. Well, no way. I'm not going to buy it then if it's real bad. But what they mean is it's good. So you have to, okay. You need a new dictionary with every generation, you know. Because teenagers, they will absolutely challenge you. See, God had Adam and Eve full grown because He couldn't handle a teenager. No. You know, I'm kidding, teens, wherever y'all are. Scattered out in the congregation, thank God. Hallelujah. Okay. What was that? Jonathan was telling me about somebody. He said, I'm a whole lot smarter than you are. And he says, I found a good comeback. I heard it the other day. Somebody says they're smarter than you, just say, one of my thoughts would explode your brain. What that has to do with it, but anyway. Okay, got your attention? Psalm 42. Psalms 42. This is so good. I love this. You know, David and the psalmist, they often would just really talk to themselves. Literally talk to themselves. I read a quote one time by a doctor who had become a preacher years ago. And he was just making an observation about depression and things that go on in people's lives. He says, most people are fearful and depressed because they're listening to themselves instead of talking to themselves. Oh, yeah. Got you on that one. That's a good one. And most people that are depressed are spending a lot of time listening to themselves. Yet if you go through the Scripture, you'll find many times, especially in the Psalms, man, they would talk to themselves, straighten themselves out, address themselves just like they were talking to a person. What's wrong with you? Wake up. What are you doing? What are you saying that for? Quit talking that way. Hello? You say, what are you? You say, Pastor, have you lost it? No, I got it. Stay with me. We'll look at it. It's right here. Psalms 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Well, who do you think he's talking to?
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. He's feeling it too. He's feeling that despair. He's feeling that hopelessness. He's feeling that pain. His mind's spinning. He's affected by the weight of this thing, the circumstance, the event, whatever. You know, I kid about it, but it's not really funny. We get that way sometimes, and we want to just bury ourselves in it. We don't answer the phone. We don't go to the door. We put on the blues music. Hello. We lay on the couch and just stay miserable. You know, I talk to some people, they draw back. Well, this was going on. I was so ashamed, and I was embarrassed about this, and I just got away, and months went by, you know, and they crawl off in a hole. Depression does that, see? It does that. But what's happened is you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. What is the problem? You're born again. You're washed in the blood. Greater is He that's in you than He is in the world. You can pray and change this thing. Not only are all things possible with God, Jesus said, but Mark 9:23, He said all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. Jesus said, if you ask, you receive. Matthew 7:7, everyone that asks, receives. Everyone seeks, finds. Everyone knocks, the door is open unto him. You can change this. You can pray. You can seek God. What are you doing laying there in the mud? Come up out of the pit.
Amen.
The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Sometimes you need to have a little come to Jesus meeting with yourself. And preach to yourself. And listen to what he's saying here. This is so good. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Why are you causing me this pain? What is all this going through my head? You're going over this. You're making this too complicated. You're getting paralysis of analysis. You're overanalyzing. You're too introspective. You're being too philosophical. Let's just shut this thing down right now. Talking to yourself. Hope in God. You get it? Hope in God. No, I'm not going there. I'm going to put my hope in God. You feel it coming on? You see the clouds coming in? The lights get a little dimmer? You want to go lay in the bed? You want to pull the covers over your head and hope all the bad people go away? Like they'll disappear, you know? Listen, you need to talk to yourself. And you need to hope in God. That's where hope is. Amen? Why are you so cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Hallelujah. He will smile and shine His face down on me, and He will help me. I have help, and where I got help, I got hope. I am not helpless, and I am not hopeless. Praise God, I have a future and a hope. In fact, he doesn't just stop there. No, still in the same psalm, Psalm 42. Notice the 11th verse. Why are you so cast down? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Sound a little redundant, doesn't it? In fact, it's the exact wording. And the reason is He doesn't want us to miss this. And if we did miss it, look at the 43rd Psalm. Look at the 5th verse. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of my countenance and my God. I believe 3rd time's a charm, don't you? You know, you've heard that saying. But when you see something in the Bible, 1, 2, 3, bam, 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 just like that. God's trying to talk to us. He's speaking to us. He's telling us something here. We live in a hopeless world, but we do not have a hopeless God. We live many times in hopeless circumstances, but we don't have a hopeless God. We are not without hope because we're not without God. And He is the God of hope. He's the God that gives us hope. He's the God that gives us meaning and gives us purpose. I don't care what's going on in the world. I got a destiny. I got a future. I got a God who loves me and is for me. I got a God who has a purpose for my life. I have a God that is on my side that will help me in the time of trouble, that will pull me out of the pit and open up the gate and show me where it is. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, empower my legs to run through it. He'll give me, by the power of the Holy Ghost, joy and peace in believing. Turn to Jeremiah 29. This is a great one. We actually had this on the sign a couple of weeks ago, last week. Jeremiah 29. This helping you?
Yes.
Jeremiah 29. And really, do a study. I mean, there's so many scriptures on hope and hoping in God and keeping our hope alive and so on and so forth. And juncture that with your faith. In other words, okay, I can make it. Well, get in the Word and find out the scriptures that tell you what to do and what to stand on, what to say, and put your faith behind it. Don't give up. There's hope. I think of, don't turn there, but you know Paul when they had that shipwreck in Acts, the 27th chapter? There for days and days and days in a storm. And I mean, it had gotten bad. It had just gotten, in fact, it got so bad, Paul made this statement. It always stuck with me when I read that, thinking about Paul saying something like this, because it's so out of character. But he was honest and he was transparent. He said, when all hope that we should be saved was lost. I thought, wow, man, that's bad, isn't it? Because now you don't even want to believe. You can't believe. You can't, it doesn't matter how many promises you got. You lost all your hope. You don't even have, there's no way. It's not ever going to happen. I've talked to people that way. Sometimes I have talked to myself that way. You know, when you're trying to minister, say, look, you can get over this. You can rise above. You know, the Bible says, oh, I'm so tired. Hello. I'm just so tired. I just lost hope. They've lost hope. There's a promise they can stand on, but see, faith won't work without hope. Does that make sense? I mean, you got a scripture, you got faith. Everybody's got it, but see, it won't work if you have no hope. You got to have hope. And I want to encourage you, hope. You can make it. Amen. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe a million different things in this congregation, but I tell you what, we got hope in God. Amen. We got hope in God. Now let's get in the Word and find out what He says. Let's find those promises, and let's start believing that. Let's start confessing what God says. But first of all, let's realize we can make it. Hallelujah. We can get through this. Days will get brighter. Hallelujah. Days will get better. You're not doomed to repeat the pain over and over and over and over and over. See, that's what drives you nuts. You think you're going to be like this the rest of your life. No, don't lose hope. We can come out of this until that day comes. Lord, I will praise you because I have hope that it will turn around. Okay. Jeremiah 29. Y'all found it? Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. I love that. You know, He's thinking about you all the time. He really is. You are on His mind. You're not forsaken. You're not forgotten. You're not without help, and you're not without hope. God's on your side. He's for you, just waiting on you to come call, waiting on you to cry out. He's very, very expectant. And anticipating your call. He is sitting by the phone. He's got it with him everywhere he goes because he knows you're going to call. And he's thinking about you. Oh, when you cry out to God, he says, I was just thinking about you. Anytime you call on God, he could always say that because he's always thinking about you. Think about it. That's good, isn't it? We're on God's mind. There's a song they sang, I was on his mind when he was on the cross. I was on his mind. And he was. I was on his mind. He was thinking of me, Michael Williams. Live verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Now, what does he think about us? That's a good question. What does he think? Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Oh, wow. You mean he's about hope? He is about hope. That's what he's thinking about us all the time. He's always thinking about giving us hope. Because without him, we have none. So anytime you feel hopeless, remember this. God's there to give us hope. And he's always thinking of ways to give us hope. And in the same time, give us a future. One translation says an expected end. We have an expected end. I like to say this. Our future's so bright you got to wear shades. Amen. You know, Proverbs 4:18 says the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more until that perfect day. Our best days are yet to come. I mean, we're going higher. We're not going lower. We're doing more, not less. We're not getting ready to go under. We're going over. Hallelujah. We got hope. And our hope's in God. In what? What do you got hope in? God. Because I've never lost him. I was talking to somebody the other day. You know, they're talking about good times and bad times. I said, well, you know, they come and go, but God never changes. Never changes. They said, well, what do you do, you know, when this is going on, you hear all this and hear all that? Well, my faith's never been in any of that anyway. My faith's always been in Him. And He never changes. So it doesn't matter what's going on. God's the same. And He's where my hope comes from. So that never changes. Hope never has come from the world. It never does come from circumstance. It never does come from what's going on. Hope comes from God. And if your hope's in God, you got it. You already got it licked, as we say in East Texas. You already got it whooped. Amen. So keep your hope in God. Amen. And talk to yourself and quit spending so much time listening to yourself. I know that sounds almost redundant or opposite, but it's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Those feelings, those thoughts. No, you get a hold of the Word and you start speaking to your soul. Why art thou downcast? Hope in God. Praise God. We got a bright future. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that gave you some hope this morning.